Chapter 7.
The pistol was useless. Worse, Simon had thrown it away in a fit of pique in the water. He floated, watching the pirate ship bear down on him. They thought they'd make him a slave, no doubt. They'd try, no doubt. He couldn't help but smile. There are so few real chances in life to kill without consequences. He would have liked to have access to more colours, but blue would have to suffice. He packed the blue Luxon into his shoulders and back, where it would be covered by the sleeves of his tunic. He wasn't good at packing Luxon. It was uncomfortable, and he never fully cleared his skin. He always retained a pale blue hue, like he was freezing to death. He could do a thousand things excellently, but hiding his excellence wasn't one of them. The burning rowboat finally had enough of its hull consumed that it dipped the last smouldering beam in the waves with a hiss. He hoped the pirates wouldn't wonder how a rowboat could produce so much smoke. Maybe they'd think he'd been carrying tar, or black powder. At least it looked like Kip was dead. Simon had never heard or seen him after the boat exploded, and he didn't think the boy had gotten clear. He himself had ducked under the water to avoid the force and shrapnel from the blast. Sad to have lost his boat. He should have known Kip would try something. Slippery and quicker than you'd think a blindfolded big kid could move. It didn't matter. The pirates would scoop him out of the water and would have whether he'd been in the boat or not. He had only to wait. The swimming was no problem. In Apple Grove, where he'd grown up, every boy and girl swam for fun, jumping off the big rope swing or riding the smooth stones of the waterfall. In minutes, the galley arrived. They threw a line to him, then tossed webbing over the side, and a toothless sailor shouted at him to climb. "What else am I going to do, you cretin? Stay in the water?" Simon climbed. He hopped over the railing, spry, ignoring the drawn swords four men held pointed at him. No one had drawn a musket. Good. He kept his eyes down, though, waiting to see who would speak.
"Yang," the mate said.
He was the toothless man, and as ugly as a day at the oar was long.
"Skinny, but not too soft. And at his age, he'll toughen up fast. He'll do nicely. Trench was coughing blood yesterday. Give us a chance to rest him, or Hollum smiles on us."
"You're going to enslave me?"
Simon asked, his tone that of a scared boy's. The captain spoke up. He was a braided beard Atashian, though with brown eyes rather than that people's usual blue.
"Enslave is such a hard term. We all work here. Doesn't Orholm say all men are brothers? You'll work beside your brothers on an oar."
"And if I refuse?" Simon asked.
He let the blue Luxon travel down the underside of his arm. With his hands at his side, it would be all but invisible.
"We all work," the captain said flatly. "My ship, my world."
Simon could make his proposal now. Could reveal that he was a polychrome. This captain didn't seem terribly belligerent. He hadn't struck Simon, despite chances to do so.
"I have a better idea," Simon said.
"How about—"
He shot a spike of blue Luxon through the face of the man nearest him. The sharp Luxon went straight through the man's aquiline nose and into his brain. Simon spun with the kick of having shot so much mass, using the spin to flick out another blade of blue Luxon. He lopped off the other man's hand at the wrist. He shot a blunt rock of blue Luxon into that man's chest, knocking him off his feet. In an instant, Simon had another seething spike spinning slowly in his left hand, pointing it at the captain. His actions, so sudden and swift and so swiftly stopped, stunned the slavers. They didn't react, and Simon didn't move. If he did, he'd spook them. If the whole ship attacked him, he might be able to kill everyone, but he couldn't command this ship. He didn't know how it worked. He took advantage of the pause to replenish his Luxon.
"How about—" Simon repeated. "I join your crew for a time. I'm a polychrome captain. This was me using one colour. I can use six. You give me the mate's room, and I'll fight with you for 3 months, or 3 battles, whichever is first. My magic will make all the difference. 3 battles that you're guaranteed to win. Then, when I've paid you in full, you take me to Big Jasper and let me debark with a share of the treasure that you think I've earned. You'll still be the captain, and I won't take a thing from you. We'll part as friends."
"Or?"
the captain asked. His hand was twitching toward the pistol in the bag at his belt.
"Or I kill you, and offer the same deal to your first mate.
Maybe he'll not be so fast to leap to defend you, knowing that by doing nothing he gets rich himself.
Barrack was a good man,
the captain said, looking at the dead man. The other handlers had already passed out from blood loss. He could still be saved. So you know, Zymon said, ignoring that, I'll be the most important man in the Seven Satrapies soon, and I could use a man of your talents in the future. The captain looked from Zymon to his mate, who was stony-faced. The captain dipped his fingers into a pouch and pulled out some tobacco. He tucked it under his lip. He stared at the man still bleeding on the deck.
Rawl, bind him up!
The mate, apparently named Rawl, did as he was bid. The captain still said nothing to Zymon. Zymon let it sit, the captain's death still spinning slowly in his hand. The captain spit brown juice onto the deck. It landed in blood. He scowled.
Dale,
he said finally,
I've got a few grudges you might help me with. If you can help me take one pirate in particular, I'll let you go after one battle, on my honour as son of a slattern and a sailor.
He extended his hand a bit gingerly. That flash of fear comforted Zymon to no end. A man who feared him this much, having barely seen what Zymon could do, wouldn't attempt treachery soon. Perfect.
Who's this pirate? Zymon asked.
Fancies himself a bit of a cannoneer. Calls himself Captain Gunner.